Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 2.0 of Rethinking with Alex Torpy podcast. So, this episode is a little bit different than some of the other ones that we're going to be doing. I'm just going to be giving a brief overview here of the 10-part series that has been produced to cover this week's topic. I didn't want to throw all of these in here necessarily, but you can find everything on rethinkingwithalextorpy.com. Now, what these episodes are about are specifically geared for people that are thinking about maybe running for office or maybe who haven't thought about running for office but are curious to learn a little bit more. This is a kind of beginner's guide overview for those who might not have experience being in office, working on campaigns, or coming from the political world. And it's really exciting if that describes you, that you're interested in these things, because we really, really need people coming from backgrounds that isn't professional politics to get involved in these spaces. And let me share a little bit about why. So when I ran for mayor in my hometown in South Orange 2011, that election ended up being a little close. That was a 12-vote margin of victory on my count. Now, that small of a margin has given me a really great talking point when I go to schools and civic organizations and talk about the importance of people coming out to vote. But my ideology with that has always been that voting isn't really enough. It's a great thing for people to do, but it doesn't discharge our responsibility. Because ultimately, if we're voting and we're getting more people to vote, but the same candidates from the same parties on the same issues divided along the same lines are running for office, what are we really accomplishing by getting more people bought into that system? Now, I think that more people should be voting. In fact, I think that everybody should vote, but they should be voting because there are candidates that represent their interests and that they're really excited about, not because somebody pressured them into voting for the lesser of two evils. I think we've all done enough of that. There's a really great quote that is something that Boss Tweed said, and I learned this from a talk that Larry Lessig gave years and years ago. I saw this quote in one of his talks, and I think it's great. So Boss Tweed, the famous Tammany Hall political machine boss from New York City, said, "I don't care who does the voting as long as I get to do the nominating." So think about that for a second. I don't care who does the voting as long as I get to do the nominating. And so really, the idea there is that, yeah, you can involve whoever you want in the voting process. What they were talking about was, picking the candidates that would win the primary elections, be on the party line, and would kind of steamroll to victory in the general election. And what I'm talking about is kind of similar, which is that, again, if it's the same, if we're not really thinking critically about who's running for office, then the voting side is actually not as important as so many of us think that it is. So that's part of the reason why I'm doing these series. The first, starting out a nonpartisan guide on how to run for office. And then I will update that with additional episodes about how to volunteer for your local government, how to become, how to find a career in government as a professional or a staff person, how to do consulting in government, how to work in nonprofits that work around government, how to create a startup private company that works around government. We're going to try and look at all the different ways that people can get involved and make an impact on the things around them. But the one that is potentially the least accessible is running for office, which is something that many people who are in office make it difficult for other people to do. And there are a lot of reasons why and how they do that. And so what I'm hoping to do here is give a little bit of information for people that might be thinking about doing so. So we've got a 10-part series. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the questions that you might want to think about if you're considering different ways to get involved. One of the questions that I've gotten a lot from people over the years in coaching dozens and dozens of people in running for office is that people don't really know what the couple years before running for office looks like. So talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about how to start your campaign from scratch. Then I'm joined by one of my friends and colleagues who's going to talk to us about how to actually run your campaign, your communications and field, and your digital and fundraising and all these different pieces. We're going to give an overview of all of those sections. Then we're going to talk about your Get Out the Vote or GOTV efforts and talk about what to do on Election Day. And then I'll do a little bit of a wrap up and talk about what to do after Election Day if you win or if you lost. What are some of the next steps that you might want to consider at this point? What I really hope is that this guide provides a starting point. It's so hard. I remember when I decided to run for office in 2010, 2011, I looked online. I tried to find places to learn about how to campaign. And unless you're running on the line as part of a party, there aren't that many resources out there. You know, I'm lucky that I had some friends who were willing to put some time in and who had some political experience. And that really helped a lot. This is not the kind of thing that you want to make up as you go. Political campaigns, the operations of the campaign is not something you need to reinvent the wheel on. There are a lot of best practices out there that are tried and tested and will help propel you to a successful campaign where you use your time and resources efficiently in targeting the right voters to make sure that on Election Day you hit your numbers. And so I've talked to a number of young people interested in running, and again, it's amazing if you're coming at this without the political professional political background, but I do hope that you find the series helpful. And if you're not sure about running for office or if you think it's a bad idea, let me just throw a couple things out there that are worth thinking about. I think one of the, we have a lot of sort of models that we internalize about how things work. And one of those is that in politics, longevity equals power. Now, to some degree, that's true, especially in legislative bodies where you rise in the ranks in whatever chamber you're in based on how long you've been in that legislative body. So you're not going to chair a good committee. You're not going to have a leadership position where you can move legislation forward until you put those years in. And there's rules and procedures that were designed actually originally to get people kind of forced into compromising and playing things cool and being part of the system, so it wasn't just a bunch of wild pulling the government in different directions all the time. They wanted longevity and stability in how a lot of the government functioned. But what we're seeing are some of the really bad consequences from that, where people get in, and even if they are committed ideologically to doing the right thing when they first run, they lose that commitment, they lose the context of why they are running for re-election and why they're doing the things that they're doing. And sometimes they form relationships between their politics and their personal lives and their businesses that are really conflicted and make it difficult for them to make good decisions while in office. All of these things happen and sort of contribute to the really catastrophically bad kind of state of our public institutions that we see around us. So this longevity equals power idea, although there's some truth to it in certain situations, it's really only true if you are playing the traditional political game and that you want to run for office and stay in there for 20 years or 30 years and be a professional career politician. But if you don't want to do that, there are other ways to approach this that are equally, if not more, powerful. And so, for example, one of those is not running for re-election. Depending on where you're running for office, you might have up to 3 or 4 years, sometimes with campaigns in towns only lasting 3 to 6 months. So you might get 3 or 4 years almost to govern. And in that time, you can actually accomplish a lot, depending on the level of government and the type of position that you're running for. And so one of the things that I've learned over the years is that that longevity equals power model is not true. And there's a different model that we should be thinking about here, and it is a service model of running for office rather than a career model. And so what I mean by a service model is that think about other things that especially young people get involved in. Think about Teach for America, the Peace Corps, or perhaps joining the military. All of these things in running for office actually share some really interesting commonalities. So the first is that while you're in the position, you're not going to make a lot of money. You know, people, most local elected officials, unfortunately, are unpaid, and some of them get a very small stipend, which is a whole other set of problems that biases the kind of people who can actually afford to run for office, even at the local level. So the first thing you got to know going into one of these service opportunities is you're not going to make a lot of money during this. You're not getting rich during this. And the second is that it's going to be really difficult and really stressful, and in some cases, potentially risky or dangerous, talking about military service or things like that. But the activity itself is not going to be easy. It's going to be challenging. You're going to be forced to learn things that you didn't know, and it's going to be really difficult. But on the flip side are some really big pros. One of them is that you get to have a real impact on people and communities around you. All of these things are majorly influential in other people's lives while you're doing them, and that is not something to take lightly. And the second thing is that after doing a position like this, sometimes even just the act of running for office, but especially serving time in a public office, you will learn skills. You will learn about yourself. You'll learn content area skills. You'll learn how to work more efficiently and more disciplined. You'll meet people that will become interesting relationships and spark your interest in different areas. You will build all of this really, really phenomenally valuable capacity doing a good job serving in those positions. And that is something that will help you in the future achieve greater economic mobility for yourself and for others around you. That's something that you can take and go to another job. Once you've gone through what it's like being a mayor in a small town, for example, everything else seems kind of approachable after that. And so the experience itself, you know, we need to reframe it a little bit more like some of the founders intended, that this is not something to get involved in as a career to do for the rest of your life, that you have to give up your private life and give up where you're going to live and live in the limelight and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to do it that way. You can do it thinking about it as a term of service. You can set that number of years and say, I'm not going to run for re-election unless something changes, and commit to working as diligently as possible in the 2 or 3 years that is a true gift to have being in one of these positions. I remember before I got sworn in South Orange for a 4-year term, I put in my last day in office before I even started, because I had no interest at that point at all in even considering running for a second term. As a millennial and moving every year and changing jobs all the time, which is something that a lot of people in our generation are familiar with, making a 4-year commitment was a really big thing. I certainly wasn't prepared to go beyond that unless something changed in the future. And of course, giving space to never say never. But that really created a different outlook for me going into the position, because no longer did I care about whether something was popular in the short term or not. I could navigate around the issues in front of us, confront controversial things, make difficult decisions, and not be worried that, oh, well, people are really mad about it right now, even though in a year they'll realize, you know, by far that this was the right thing to do. And it gave me enormous independence and freedom to approach the position from a much more values-driven perspective, not one where I had to constantly worry about running for re-election and what people thought of me, and was I still popular with those people, and that person gave me money the last time, are they going to do it again? None of those factored into my decision-making for 4 years as a mayor, which is pretty cool. And so I'm just throwing that out there as an example for those of you who might be listening, that there are many other models and assumptions like that built into the way we think this has to work. But really, all of those assumptions are just the way that the people who do it currently do it. And if you want to play their game, which I don't necessarily recommend for most people, yeah, those dynamics will be there. But if you want to do something different, if you see being in public office not as a chance to enrich yourself, not as a chance to create a political dynasty, not as a chance to be well known and have people like you and respect you, but as a chance to really dig in, find the areas where things are going wrong and correct them, and help governments and help communities get on the right foot, I'm trying to, I guess, share with you that this is actually more approachable and more reasonable of an option to consider than you may have thought originally. And so, again, that's just one of many examples of ways that this can actually work differently. Thinking about this as a term of service, not as a career. So I hope that this guide that follows the about 10-part series there is helpful for you in thinking about it. If you watch all the episodes and you think that I missed an area, got something wrong, or you'd like to hear more information about something, please let me know. And if I need to, I'll add an update to the series as I add other ways, as I add episodes about other ways that you can get involved in making an impact on government beyond just running for office. There will also be some interviews in there with people who have run for office, Democrats, Republicans, people from cities and rural areas, different people with different experiences running for office that I will keep adding to over time so you can hear firsthand from people who have done this what the experience was like and why so many of them found it so valuable. So I thank you in joining me on the podcast, and I really appreciate that you are taking the time to think about this potentially really interesting and really unique way to make an impact on those around you. So thanks again, and don't forget to subscribe and visit rethinkingwithalextorpey.com to check out the full series. I'll talk to you all soon.